From Spark and Anvil and Stageforge, this is Yearn, in Chapter 1 of the Stageforge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. Yearn was a whippet tween, lean and leaning, always tilted forward as though the air ahead of her held something she was about to reach. Her eyes were the giveaway, bright and fixed, forever locked onto some invisible thing just out of frame. Around her neck, she wore a length of soft cord tied to a small wooden ring, and in scenes, she'd hook one finger through the ring and pull, gently, toward whatever her character wanted, so her whole body pointed at the desire like a needle at north. "Every scene is a want," Yearn would say, tugging lightly at her ring. "A character always wants something in the room. To be forgiven, to win, to be believed, to make you leave, to make you stay. That want is the engine. It's why they pick these words and not those, why they move here and not there. If you don't know what your character wants, you're just saying lines in the air. Find the want, aim your whole self at it, and the scene starts to pull." Yearn grew up beside the sea cliffs, where her family were the tide readers, the ones who could tell hours ahead which way the water meant to go. The secret wasn't reading the surface, which was all confusion and chop. The secret was finding the deep pull underneath, the one strong current that every wave and ripple was secretly obeying. Once you found the deep want of the water, the messy surface made perfect sense. Little Yearn would lie at the cliff edge for hours, frustrated, seeing only the jumbled chop. "You're watching the splashes," her father said. "Splashes lie. Find the pull underneath, the one direction the whole sea wants to go, and the splashes suddenly all mean something." When she finally felt it, the deep drag of the tide beneath all that noise, the whole restless surface clicked into a single story. She started seeing wants everywhere after that, in people, in arguments, in the way a shopkeeper leaned toward a customer. Everyone, she realized, was a chop of surface behavior, secretly obeying one deep pull. She never stopped hunting for the pull. Yearn's workshop had a single long window at one end, so there was always somewhere to lean toward. On her table lay the cord and ring, and today the field mouse tween Sumi was there again, script drooping, looking miserable. "My scene is dead," Sumi said. "I know all my lines, I say them right, and it's just flat. Curtin said it has no engine, and I don't even know what that means, and now I'm scared to do it at all because I know it's going to be boring, and everyone will watch it be boring. Let's find the engine, and I promise the scared part gets smaller too," Yearn said, crouching beside her. "In this scene, what does your character want from the other one? Not what happens. What does she want?" Sumi frowned at the script. "She's asking her friend to come back?" "Wants her friend to come back," Yearn said, sitting up. "How badly?" "Really badly. It's the last chance. If the friend leaves, that's it." "So she wants it desperately. Everything's riding on it." Yearn handed Sumi the cord and ring. "Now hook your finger through this, and every line, every single one, pull gently toward your friend, like the words are little tugs trying to reel her back. Don't act sad. Just want her to stay, and let the lines be the ways you try." She stepped back. "Run it." Sumi hooked the ring, fixed her eyes on the empty space where her scene partner would be, and spoke. And this time, the lines pulled. Every word leaned toward the friend, trying, reaching, refusing to let go. The scene wasn't flat anymore. It ached. Sumi stopped, wide-eyed. "I didn't change the lines. It just came alive." "Because now there's a want under them," Yearn said. She gave the little mouse the rules, one tug at a time. "Before every scene, ask one question. What does my character want here, right now, from the other person? Say it as an active verb, to win, to warn, to soften, to keep. Not a feeling like sad. Aim everything at the want. Let the lines be the attempts to get it. And keep the want simple and strong. A clear small want beats a vague big one.
When the long window darkened, Sumi stayed, hooking and unhooking the ring, feeling how it pulled. The dead feeling scared me almost as much as the stage did, she admitted. Like I'd get up there and just be empty, and everyone would see. Yearn sat beside her, still faintly leaning. Here's the part nobody tells you. The want is also your anchor when the nerves hit. When you get up there and your mind goes white and you can't remember what comes next, you can always remember what your character wants. That never leaves. Hold the want. Keep reaching for it. And your body knows what to do, even while your head is panicking. She smiled. I forget lines too. Everyone does. But I never lose the pull. The pull carries me until the words come back. Sumi held the ring, fixed her eyes on the empty space, and felt the flat, scared emptiness fill with something warm and directed. The steadying relief of finally having somewhere to aim. Find the want. Aim your whole self at it, Yearn said quietly, leaning toward the dark window. Isn't it a good feeling, having something to reach for?
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Yearn. Released under Creative Commons BYNCSA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.